Hello, Tony. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, thanks. And you?
Yeah, we're all right. Thank you very much.
Been on your
been a bit hot, hasn't it?
Just a bit. You've been on your travels a bit, I think, with your tribe of hounds, and I think you've probably been experiencing some of the warmer weather too.
We have, yes, and it's not that easy with older dogs because you know they can't cool down very easily, and puppies, you know, they can't cool down that easily either. And middle-aged people get irascible when it's hot. So it's quite a combination, really.
Oh, I would think so. You mentioned about the cooling down thing. Of course, we have Nuka, who's, 14 and a half. And she sounds like, with excuse the expression, but she sounds like a heavy breather on the phone, just trying to keep cool. It's, and it's that all the time. And she really does suffer with the heat. But I suppose when you think about it, and being a Labrador, double fur coat on, I think you'd be warm too, wouldn't you?
I think you would, although it isn't, obviously it's an insulator both ways. It keeps the heat out and in.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is as they just get older. And the silly sausages will go and lie in direct sun and bay. But that's their choice. It's when we drag them out in the sun because we want to go out in the sun. And we thought, well, it's a lovely day. Let's take the dog out in the heat of the day. It's not a clever thing to do at all. Nor actually, the other interesting thing, we've got a groomer who comes to class. And she was saying she's been asked before now to shave a dog such as a Labrador, a dog with a short coat such as that.
Why would you shave a Labrador?
Exactly.
What?
Exactly.
I mean, that's crazy.
Exactly. And it's mad. It's mad what people want from, and I think a lot of it was, I think they'd got, I don't know whether they'd got the kids round in the paddling pool or something.
Yeah.
And they didn't want, I think it was about drying the dog off, or they were going away and that they didn't want, it was too thick a coat,
God,
to worry about drying off anything. Oh, do you know what?
And this came from a dog groomer.
A dog groomer was telling me that some years ago, because we were talking about all the nonsensical things that, well, we were talking about the weather and how the coat, obviously, is an insulator in both directions. It keeps the heat out and in, etc., and the cold in, cold out, blah, blah. So we were saying, do you ever get, because you often see people with really curly or long-haired dogs, the next time you see them, they've not got an inch of fur on them. And that comes down to matting and people.
Yeah, it's a different thing. I mean, dogs with long coats is one thing, but Labradors themselves don't have long coats. They have double-coated coats, so to speak. So I would almost put that down as animal cruelty.
Well, it was bizarre. I mean, she didn't do it and said, sling your hook. But I'm sure it was something to do with they were going on holiday to the seaside or something.
Yeah.
And it was about they didn't want, if the dog was too, it would be easier to dry. Because Labradors take ages to dry because, as you say, those thick coats they've got, the double coat. And it was about that. It was mad. Anyway, and so we were just having a good old moan about people in general. About this thing, about come the warm weather, people have got this fascination of taking their dog's coat off, where it's actually, you'd be best in a lot of cases, just leave it be.
Yeah.
And don't let the dog get too hot. Naturally, it's not going to run around in the boiling heat. If you've got a ball and you make your dog obsessed with a ball, of course it's going to run around because if you've
That's not
ball,
good.
That's not good either.
Now, I was going to say, there's something in what you've said there about somebody wanting to shave a dog, which really leads me to believe that, A, those people shouldn't have had dogs. And the other thing is to do with, actually, there's, I'm not going to knock advertising, but there's a particular dog product that's being advertised online at the moment. It's a dog shampoo. And I'm one of these people that I've got two dogs. Neither of them have ever seen a bath.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of them have ever had a bath, so have absolutely no need for shampoo. It staggers me that the way this stuff is marketed, as though if you don't wash your dog, you're not looking after your dog. Well, I'm of the opinion that if you use this stuff, you're stopping the dog from doing its normal functions.
Well, you are meant to groom your dog. That's what you're meant to do.
Oh, brush them. That's one thing. I got that. But this is shampoo.
No, I mean, some dogs, there are those wicked dogs that roll in fox poo on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, I had to bath mine the other day, my wicked puppy, because she'd found the biggest, the muddiest puddle that is like soup. It's not
top
just
dog.
Mud.
Top dog.
And she stood up, and I thought, and you want to get in the car looking like that? And you couldn't see her eyes. You couldn't. She couldn't have been happier. And it took me two washes, one with, as you say, the hose pipe, and then obviously to use a product that doesn't strip all the oils out.
Mm. Well, that was the thing. That was the point. That was the point I was trying to make about the shampoo, is that it does things to dogs that shouldn't really happen, like stripping the oil, the natural oils out. Because, say, Nuka likes a walk. She'd quite happily roll in mud if she wanted to. Archie would quite happily, cheerfully roll in Fox's stuff. Quite happily do all of that. But, you know, with a shower down with cold water from a hose pipe, brush them off and dry them, they will do the rest themselves, and they look like they've never been outside the house. Actually, they're that clean.
Exactly. This, yeah, and they love it. They actually quite enjoy bits like that.
Well, it's grooming, isn't it? They do it themselves. Yeah.
And then they roll around on the grass and
scratch me back.
Scratch it all. Love it. So yes, it is a tricky one. We are very hooked up with marketing nowadays.
Yeah.
It's such a massive industry from food to what you should.
No, it was just an add-on to what you were talking about. You know, a dog groomer being asked to shave a dog for their own purposes, and it's a far worse thing than sort of somebody buying dog shampoo by any measure you want to look at. But it's still, you know, it's people with dogs who are not actually looking after their dogs as well as they could, or seeking the advice to look after their dogs as well as they perhaps should. I mean, anybody that comes up with that kind of suggestion, well, as I say, they need reporting, really. But
don't get a dog, because, I mean, dogs are, you know, if you've got a dog that doesn't like water and doesn't like being dirty, oh, hurrah. But generally speaking,
they're in the minority.
Yes, they are. I mean, as I say, we've been jolly lucky up until now. We've got this warthog that is the most extraordinary. It really would be happy living in a damp, smelly hole in the garden.
I'm actually, anyway, it leads me on really to the other thing with knowing what to do with your dog, because there's lots and lots of advice about walking your dog in the hot weather. But, of course, the hot weather means that we as mostly want to spend a little bit of time on the beach. Now, the question is, do you leave your dog at home if you're on holiday? Can you do that? Or if you take your dog with you, what do you do with them when you're on the beach? I mean, there are several obvious problems that come with it. I mean, and the first, of course, being how long is it good for the dog to be in the sun?
I know. And we were on the beach the other weekend, and it was getting warm. It was quite early when we arrived.
Yeah.
And as we were coming off the beach, when I considered we were only there about 50 minutes, I suppose, and I knew that I would have happily trotted along all day, but my dog had had enough. Mm. And because there's a point that, you know, they need to cool down, but if you overheat them, they're just not going to cool down. They're just going to get hotter. It's so difficult. But, yeah, just don't do it. So there were quite a few people arriving looking all cheery with their shades and their brollies and their dogs and their eskies with all their food in and drinks and such, and their little dogs that were already panting before they'd even got to the point where the people were going to pitch up for the day. It's a very tricky one. You need to, if you're going to do that, I know it's difficult because a lot of these holiday lets, you can't leave a dog at home in them. They have to go with you. So you just need to be prepared and make sure that you have got an awful lot of proper shade for your dog, where it does feel cool. I mean, nowadays you can obviously get fans that are battery fans. There's no excuse to not be able to keep your dog cool. But then ultimately, if you're with the family and you're playing on the beach, the dog is a family member. It wants to, short of tying it up, you know, it wants, and the dogs that I saw charging around with, I don't actually know if any of the dogs the other weekend knew where their owners were, because they'd all formed this little gang and they all just running around in circles.
Having fun.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, pick a dog, any dog. So, but that's fine until they all get too hot, because they're not going to stop if they're having fun. They just, you know, naturally they wouldn't be out in the heat anyway. And it's up to you as an owner to make sure that they don't get too hot.
This is one of the dilemmas of owning a dog. What do you do when it comes to holiday time? Because, oftentimes there are children involved, and of course children want to run around and play, and it's hard enough to get the factor 50 on the kids, let alone try and protect the dog. But the dog wants to play with the kids and run around, and of course there's salt in the sea, which makes life difficult as well. So I mean, a beach holiday is not necessarily the right holiday for a dog, is it?
No, not really. I mean, I suppose some dogs get used to it, but again, so long as you're sensible, there's, again, marketing stuff. There's these things called cool vests that you can put your dogs in, which actually keep the body, the core of the body, cool. But then again, yes, they're they're a very good idea, because they keep the dog cool. Some dogs heat up very quickly, other dogs don't. So, but is it a false thing so much as that you allow them to run around more because you think you can cool them down? Mm. If you allow them in the sea, if they've never been in the sea before, the amount of dogs that drink the sea and then chuck up and they're quite badly sick because of all the salt in the water, they see the water, they won't naturally. I would think probably most of our dogs' first encounter with salt water have drunk a bit of it and chucked it up. So they don't naturally, it's normally in the car on the way home, isn't it? But they don't naturally think, oh, I won't drink that's salty. They can learn that. They can lie in a, you know, a pool by a breakwater. But again, you just have to be, I mean, you can put a sort of cool, damp towels on them. I think the thing is just to try and keep them, and there's no point trying to give them lots of cold things to drink, or ice cubes or stuff like that, because again, you're messing with the temperature. I mean, if they get very hot, obviously, if you can stand them in some cooler water. But I think the trick is, but I suppose the other thing is probably in the wild, they would just dig a hole in the sand and get down to the cooler bit of the sand. And lie in that, and they'd look
dogs
and
do that in the garden. They'll go and dig a hole and lay in it underneath some shade. They dug a hole and there they are, and they're as happy as Larry.
And I think, given their own devices or with a bit of thought, you could keep them cool. It's just that when everybody leaps up and says, oh, let's have a game of ball or cricket or something, and the dog wants to come, or if everybody goes in the water, the dog's running up and down the beach, they can get quite distressed if they see their family disappear out to sea. And whilst dogs can swim, they're not all necessarily good swimmers. You know, if they're elderly, they could drown. Yeah. So just, I mean, that being too scaremongery, I think you've just got to be very sensible.
Yeah.
I would designate a handler for an hour at a time. You're in charge of the dog, because nobody wants to be in charge of the dog when they're on the beach, do they? Yeah. They don't want to be the one. Or once you've buried Granny in the sand up to her neck, you can leave an arm free and just put the lead around her hand and say, could you look after the dog?
I can see what type of holidays you have.
Yes.
The other thing, of course, talking holidays, is that oftentimes dogs spend time on their own when it's school term time. You know, everybody's at work and the kids have gone to school. Their routine is uprooted a bit, isn't it, during school holidays?
Absolutely. And we get calls this time of year where dogs sadly have bitten people, or they call it nipped, but a nip is still a bite, isn't it? It's a warning shot, whereby there's so much going on at home. People have got their friends round, kids have got their friends round. And you just need to know, if your dog isn't used to high energy of children or noise or people coming and going within the house, it can worry them. So they need to have a space where they can retreat to. Dogs try and retreat naturally into spaces, but then, you know, if you've got young people and their friends go, oh, come and see the dog, and then suddenly if it's a small dog, will bend down and try and pick it up so it can be introduced to all these friends that are coming around. Well, they don't naturally like that, and that's when they can nip. So you need to know that the dog has got a space where it can retreat to, either a crate that can be shut and locked by an adult, so children that you don't know. I mean, over the years, the calls, as say it's the summer, where children have gone round to other people's houses, they've either let a dog out of a crate, which they shouldn't have done, and the dog's then bitten. They've stuffed their fingers through the crate where they've gone to see somebody else's dog and it's had a nip there. Or they've come rushing in and people leave doors open. The door's been left open. The dog's done a runner and either been hit by a car or just done a runner. And then everybody's out looking for the dog. So you do need to think dog in these situations because, you know, people leave doors open. Unless you're an owner of a dog that is an escape artist, as years go on, as your dog gets older, your ability to shut doors lessens. When you've got a puppy or an escape artist, you have to do it. It's like anything, isn't it? It's nobody's fault, but I think you just need to remember those things. But the hot weather as well, as I say, makes people and dogs irascible. Yeah. They're much more likely to give a warning growl and then possibly nip. Not all dogs, but every dog can. Every dog in the whole history can bite if pushed.
Oh yeah. Well, the other thing that goes along with that, because most dogs, and I stress most dogs, are really okay, and they see their, you know, the children of the family as being, well, they're equals, and they just have fun with them. They grow up together, which I think is fantastic in most places. But there are always those dogs who want to be that dog, you know, and get on with the kids and all the rest of it, but have had such a terrible start in life that they're terrified of people. You know, they'll quite happily go out and play with other dogs, which is not always what you need. But when you take them out or you want to go somewhere with your dog, it becomes much harder to deal with because they don't like people. The tail's down and they're very, very wary of what goes on.
It is. It's very difficult. And we've seen more people have got nervous dogs. I mean, my rescue one we got last year is nervous because of her circumstances. She's nervous. She's had a dreadful start, as yours has. And we've got a few at class that are nervous of people. Now, it depends how nervous and were they just naturally a bit wary, or have they had bad treatment, which will make them nervous. And it is, it's a bit of a task, because wherever you seem to go, there's obviously always people. If there's dogs and people, it's fine. But if there's just people alone, it's tricky. And if your dog is off lead, chances are, if it sees somebody on their own without a dog, it will view them as a worry, possibly a threat, but definitely a worry. And then you get the barking, which then alarms the person who hasn't got the dog. Chances are they're not necessarily a dog lover. That's why they haven't got a dog. And then if a dog goes up and barks at them, it's very tricky. So, and there's lots of photographers and such.
Well, they're wary in both. It's wary in both directions, isn't it? Because there are people out there who are very wary of dogs because of some of the publicity, and rightly so. Some people with their dogs are a bit sort of cavalier about allowing their dogs to go to other people. Yes. And then there are the dogs, on the other hand, who've been mistreated. You know, especially if you've got a rescue dog, you don't know the history of that dog. And there's this problem where they see people all in the same light, and it just brings back horrible memories for them, and they cower in the corner. It makes life very difficult in dealing with them.
It does. And, you know, as you say, certain shapes, baseball caps, we've got a chum whose past dog couldn't bear people in long macs. Yeah. Especially dark-coloured macs. So, you know, there is trauma there. So, And it's not easy because these people can appear from nowhere, and you can be out for what, and they can be people, you know, this time of year, they're out taking photographs, there's butterflies, there's insects, there's all sorts, or just people out there taking lovely photos professionally or because they want to take them, and they won't necessarily have a dog with them. And that's the biggest fear for a dog. Suddenly seeing a lone person. If they've got a camera, now cameras, we all know they're expensive, and if people do it as a hobby, hobbyists or professionals, they are really expensive bits of kit, and the last thing they want is a dog jumping up and knocking their lens out of their hand or something. So I think with anybody like that, it's advisable to know how to handle a dog that perhaps does come up and bark at you. The worst thing is to stand and stare at the dog, or point to it and stare. The best thing is to say something with a cheery voice or engage the owner, because that's the other thing is I find if you're talking to the owner is talking about, and the whole, you can feel the whole energy then softens.
Yeah, the dog gets curious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the owner's yelling out, or the dog's fine, but there's sort of anxiety in the owner's voice.
Yeah.
And the person who's still not saying anything, but far too busy staring and pointing at your dog.
Yeah.
It's no good just trying to give other people's dogs biscuits to try and placate them, because, you know, a lot of the really worried rescue dogs aren't going to do that. They've had every trick in the book to try to catch them. So your choice is either just to walk on casually, but don't stare at dogs and point at them. Yeah. Either speak to them in a kind fashion and try and walk on, engage in the owner. It is a tricky one. I appreciate that. I met a person a couple of years ago, and they were a professional photographer, and they were saying the times that they had dogs jump up at them.
Yeah.
And they were, and they said how expensive their lenses were. And they were marvelling at how well behaved my dogs were. And I said, well, I called them back as soon as I saw and put them on the lead. And they said, thank you. But it's a very tricky one.
It is. And it's one we're going to come back to, I think, in the future. But for now, Wendy, we've actually run right out of time. In fact, we're way over time. But hey,
blimey.
It's the way things go. Wendy, thank you for talking to us today. Don't leave it so long. We'll be hopefully talking to you again in a month's time.
Thank you, Tony.